Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Very good afternoon to you if you've just joined us. Happy, happy Thursday, 5 to Friday it is. And my name is Lukom Kwedi Phuti. It is, of course, that time of the week. It is Legal Junction. Connecting with Mr. SK via the lines on the other side of the province. Mr. SK, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Nico, and the beautiful listeners of Radio Pulpit?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Oh, man. It's an interesting day, I must say. Not only outside, but at the commission right now. Not only at the commission, though, also. It's an interesting week. Also in Parliament, ad hoc committee.
Yeah, it has just been an interesting law week in South Africa, and we have seen and learned a lot from the power of making a testimony.
Sure. Which people don't really take seriously. Because if you think about it, how many fake affidavits do people do? for about NSFAS and the likes, you know, Munto unprovoked akichima pega police station. And it's, you know, it's life as usual. Life continues. Yeah.
Life continues.
But I do understand, Uguti, there's a lot of legalities around sworn affidavits, around the whole practice of I will tell the truth, nothing but the truth.
That is correct. That is the main aim, Luko, as to why do we have to make affidavits. Because you will agree with me that affidavits are documents or are correspondences that are mostly used in courts, whereby witnesses are expected to testify on nothing but the truth basis.
Yeah.
So there's also a threat of perjury charges, whereby there is falsehoods or there is maybe suspicions that one is not telling the truth. And as I'm saying to you, Luko, really, it has been a very interesting week. I've seen the testimonies of Mama Diaz. I've seen
that's why
it has just been an interesting week. I've seen the Brown Mukhosi testimony there by the Madanga.
Coming up with new titles. Did you ever hear of that legendary approach of his?
The legend?
Well, he calls it legend approach, a legend, whatever. He says that's the what he employs to do his work.
Exactly. I mean, one making an affidavit, Luko, saying that he's working in the office of the police.
In front of a commission, guys.
In front of the commission, can you imagine?
You are a pro. I'm a proud.
Social media is very busy, Luko, regarding this issue of Brown Mukhosi. The testimonies that were made there, Luko, honestly, I found them some to be vague and embarrassing, and I've also realized the competence of our South African judiciary. I've really, honestly myself, I've learned a lot in terms of the competency of our judiciary in terms of extracting information that is necessary. Because you will agree with me that before he goes to testify, he's been in social media saying that he's ready and there's some bombshells that he's going to go and throw at the Madlanga Commission. But you saw when Advocate Chaskalson was asking him questions or cross-examining him, then that's where now you realize that it was really not so.
Sure. But you know what puzzles me with this gentleman?
Yes.
And I was listening to, I saw a clip where he tells the commission Uguti he never went there saying he's a saint, and that's his justification to lying to the commission, because now what he says to the commission under oath contradicts what he said in his sworn affidavit under oath. And so the commission is like, so which testimony do we then believe in this case?
Yes.
Hmm.
You see, so that is look what we are touching this afternoon on the legal judgeship.
Mm.
The power of an oath.
Mm.
The power of taking an oath. And we normally say it, Luko, on the legal judgeship to say, you fall and rise by your papers.
Listen.
You fall and rise by your papers. So, I mean, he comes, he confirms an affidavit that, no, this is an affidavit that I have made. And remember, affidavit, it's a document that speaks for you while you are alive.
Exactly.
It's actually your words. We can compare it with a will, even though a will speak for you after you have passed on. But now, an affidavit is what you say, this is the truth and nothing else but the truth that I'm going to say before this court, before this commission, before this particular sitting, you see.
Mm.
So now we check the key aspects of an oath in terms of the South African law. The first one, we're going to look into the legal weight.
Okay.
You see, so the oath provides a legal weight to a statement. Because remember, one can just make a statement. But now, when you make it under oath, it carries a legal weight. Hence, there is consequences that which one can suffer, like the charge of perjury, the charge like having to the courts having to impose an imprisonment term. Hence, in our court rooms, Luko, witnesses are required by all means to testify under oath, because it is mandated by the Criminal Procedure Act that one, when they testify under oath, they must be prepared to say nothing but the truth.
Mm.
You see, then we also look into the difference between declarations and affidavits. You see, and
okay.
An affidavit is an affirmation. You affirm that this is the truth. This is what transpired. Hence, it must be signed before the commission of oath.
All right. So a declaration?
A declaration is just words that you just declare orally, or what we normally call on the legal judgment to say it's viva voce declaration. So it's just words that one can just say. You see, I saw that person when he was shooting that, when A was shooting X. But now it has got no binding powers like when it's made before the commission of oath.
Tell me, Mr. SK, is this inclusive of a statement made at the police station, or is a statement made at the police station similar or equivalent to an oath?
The statement made by the police station is a declaration.
You basically
declare and affirm that this is basically what transpired. But remember, such evidence must still be tested in a court of law. Hence, we always say here on the legal junction that in our South African legal system, we are mostly governed by the rules of evidence.
Mm, okay.
We rely more on evidence. Hence, if you realized what happened there in the Madlanga Commission, when Brown Mokgosi, let me give you an example when it comes to his age. There were averments that he was born 1979 and he was in the Umkhonto Wesizwe. Then later on, when he was cross-examined, he said, no, there was an error with my ID. My actual born year is actually 1977. So, hence I'm saying it has just been an interesting week in South Africa. And social media is just so, so, so busy. with this guy.
For me, it seems as if to me he's playing games, man. It makes me also just go back to that incident where he was allegedly, I don't want to say shot, attempted hijacking on him.
Yes,
and he was told to go and make a statement, to which he never, pitched at the police station.
Exactly. You see, and he was questioned on that, and he still remained to say his life was in danger. He was followed by another car, which they shot, and the car went straight. He happened to turn and run for his life. But still, I mean, such serious allegations, and you don't even run to the police station. Remember, Luko, we once spoke about this when the legal junction, when we spoke about labor law, to say when an employee is dismissed, the first place that one would run to, it will either be the CCMA,
exactly,
or that person will go and seek for legal advice. So
exactly,
in this instance, your life is at risk. There is someone that is following you. And yet, you even have an opportunity to escape. I mean, logic and common cause, Luko. The first place I will run to if my life is at risk, I'll run to the nearest police station.
I think my problem with this guy is in his admission that he's able to make up a false life. He admitted that himself. And in light of that, who must now believe you when you approach the commission if you are able to say, it's a life I have made up? How
you
do
see,
we distinguish what is the truth and what is not?
That is true, Luko. But given the information also, Luko, that he has, I think some of the things, maybe he was trying to come up with a cover-up, not too close. Certain information, because you'll realize, Luko, this is the guy that had very confidential information of the SAPS, whereas he was not a police officer himself.
Exactly.
So I think some of the testimonies around him were just to say, you know what, let me just make mockery of this commission so that I get my day in the commission, testify, say whatever that I've got to testify. Remember, we once said on the legal junction, Luko, to say commissions are not courts.
Exactly.
You see, they did not have any powers to can say, hey, here you are lying under oath. We are now charging you with perjury. Go to the cells. You are now arrested. You must be charged. You see.
Somebody actually made a statement on social media, and they were saying, I get the feeling that both Brown Mokgosi as well as Umama Omeri are making a joke of the commission and parliament in order for them not to take responsibility. Because I'm sorry to use this word, but they're acting crazy. It's very weird. You should watch those testimonies.
Yes.
It's like nobody takes any of the platforms seriously between them.
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever that they said, Luko, is what they said. I mean, they just knew that there are no serious consequences that they may suffer.
Exactly.
So you just go to the commission, you say whatever that you've got to say, then that's it, you see.
Sure. But have we really reduced such bodies to that? I mean, parliament at some point was respected. I mean, a commission is set up for a purpose and also to be respected as well. But it seems Stalama game.
Yeah, and also you check, Luko, as to why these commissions were formulated. You see, there was constitutional basis as to why these commissions exist. Same with an oath. Remember, we've got constitutionality and statutory oath. So, whereby one have to take an oath for them to declare what is true. And this is what Mamadi Hass and Brown Mokgosi were expected this week, Luko, to come and assist the country in the siege that the country is currently under. But instead, they go to the commission and go make mockery of the same commission.
But tell me now, Mr. SK, let's go back to Mamari de Haas and in conjunction to what we're discussing right now, the power of an oath. What about the nature of testimony that she is giving to Parliament right now? Are there any implications? Has she no obligations to uphold an oath in that seat?
No, she has to uphold that particular oath. She's expected to uphold that particular oath. But now, like I say, there's what they have testified in paper, and there's what they have testified orally. Hence, in the Madlanga, Mkhosi was asked as to whether which one must we go with. Must we go with your affidavit that you commissioned before a commissioner of oath, or must we go with what you are now tendering orally before us? You see,
these guys for me puzzle me, Shem, because I want to believe. I'll make a very typical example. Mama de Haas must have had some real compelling things against a lot of bodies in our country to be writing such articles, enough for her to be taken seriously and taken into a parliament to have her say. But all of a sudden now, she says things that don't make sense. Kanjani?
You see, and remember, this is what Babu Mkhwanazi said, that she has to come, with the wheelchair, she must come.
Yeah.
She must come and say what she got to say. You see. So, and now, Luko, we check the consequences of an oath. One, I've already mentioned that you may face perjury charges.
Yeah.
But again, there is civil consequences that one may suffer.
Okay.
When you have taken an oath and you are not telling the truth.
All right.
And the other one that you may suffer is removal from office. But now, with Brown Mkhosi, it's unfortunate. There is no office, Luko, that is holding.
You beat me to it. I was about to ask, which office?
Yeah, other than him being an agent.
Exactly. And also, what does this being an agent mean? Is there even proof or record? Because right now, I don't trust anything this guy says.
Yeah, you see, it's basically his weight, Luko. What he had to say. Hence, I'm saying, I think the rule of the law has to improve in terms of making these commissions to have power,
yeah,
judiciary powers, so that if we've got such witnesses that come and testify, then they must testify on the basis of what is expected in terms of Section 34 of the Oath Act, you see.
Yeah. The thing is, now I'm wondering, maybe you can enlighten me on this one, Mr. SK, as well. So
yes,
he makes an oath, and we both agree that the commission has no power, perhaps, to act on this false commission. But is there nothing else that can be done? Because you must remember, the oath that he made, that affidavit, holds power, not necessarily because it landed at the commission, but in general, the fact that he made an oath, an affidavit, and it is not true, are there any steps in particular that can be taken, even if they're not taken necessarily by the commission itself because of the powers it might not have?
Luko, you see, what I'll say to you, I'll refer to the power of an affidavit. It comes with a legal status as a sworn in written statement of facts.
Okay.
You see, so that is what you're saying in an affidavit is basically a document that is legally admissible as evidence to support the claims or the allegations.
All right.
So one, and again, is to fulfill the administrative requirements. Commissions are administrative processes.
Okay.
You see, so signing a false affidavit, like Mkhosi admitted when he was asked by senior counsel, advocate Charles Carlson, to say do you agree that you have lied in your affidavit? He admitted that he has lied. And
you know why I'm laughing, Mr. SK? In a picture, I'm your client. You've prepared me to go and give testimony. And they asked me if I lied. You don't have a say when you're my legal counsel, but you're not there. And I say, yeah, what do you do? I'm just picturing your face thinking, ah, girl, you just dug a deep hole for me.
He admits that he lied. And yet he's still having the same document in front of him.
guys, we're making a mockery of our legal system.
So we're making a mockery of our legal system. But again, like I say, Luko, there's more that we do not know, because like here we're talking about a chap that had more information in as far as the South African police is concerned. You see,
and for that reason, Mr. SK, we need to ask ourselves, what is it about him that puts him in that position to have that level? So I understand when you say to me, this guy, in Xhosa would say, ulahlumkhondo. In other words, he is acting lost and as if he has no information. He's making these jokes because there's something, there's information that he has. And all he wants is just to have a say when he knows full well, Wuti, he's still not telling the truth.
He knows very well that he's not telling the truth, but yet he still maintains to say this is what is the truth, you see.
Hey, you guys must normalize making these people in court. Because, Aibo, what do you mean?
You see, because like we speak about the power of an oath and their legal power. What we saw this week, if there are no legal ramifications or consequences that he's going to suffer, I would also have a problem with our system. I mean, such an embarrassment. Hence I'm saying his testimony was fake and embarrassing. Even a person that did not study law, Luko, they could clearly see
of course.
That this particular person is actually misleading the
commission.
The commission. Yeah, there's instances where Judge Madlanga was asking him about Mawariwari.
Please explain that Mawariwari thing for me, because I caught it in the middle and I kind of got lost there. I was like, okay, what's this Mawariwari thing?
Yeah, Mawariwari is simply Luko, hearsay.
They say,
you see. So it's basically ESA evidence. And now the question is, what is the power that ESA evidence has? Is ESA evidence admissible in a court of law? You see.
Okay.
So it's basically with ESA, it's something that you say, someone else told me this. Someone else told me this. I heard this from this person. So generally, that evidence, it's inadmissible because the original speaker is not available to be cross-examined. You see,
but only exceptions
exist. But the original person is not there to be questioned.
Sure. And in the case that the original person can be obviously found, then one needs to test their knowledge of that truth, right?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Hence, the importance or the main reason as to why ESA evidence is inadmissible. It's reliability.
True.
Because the person who made the original statement or the declarant cannot be cross-examined to test their credibility, their accuracy, and the sincerity around those allegations.
That's a broken telephone.
Yes, so it's just... So it's just words or just oral averments that one makes, but the original speaker is not there to be tested.
Mm. Sure. I get
because
you.
Remember, Luko, the only time the court can admit evidence if it is when it believes that it's within the interests of justice. After considering certain factors such as the nature of the proceedings, the nature of the evidence that is tendered, the purpose for which the evidence is being presented for.
Okay.
Then also we look into the probative value of such evidence.
What is probative value?
The probative value is the power of that particular evidence.
Okay.
You see, so the person who testifies on something that he had obviously cannot produce the evidence that is probative, whereby it can rationally affect the probability of effect in that particular issue.
All right.
So that is basically the issue in as far as probative value. Hence, we look into the facts in issue that is relevant to the case. Hence, the original maker of such evidence must be present.
True.
To testify, so that such evidence should be admissible before the court. Because you check the probative value, Luko, measures also the logical connection,
of course,
between the evidence of facts and the facts in issue.
Okay.
You see, so yeah. The probative value measures the logic connection between the two.
All right.
You see, yeah, like, let me give you an example. I was born in 1979.
Okay.
You see, those are the facts in issue. That's what I'm saying in as an issue or as a fact, you see. But now I bring an ID document
that says 1980.
I was born in 1980. You see, now it's evidentiary fact.
You okay.
See, it's supported by documentary evidence. Hence, there is importance in terms of probative value to be there so that it can measure the logical connection between evidentiary facts and facts in issue.
So how would it help? Would you have to have then said the statement differently and say, though I was born in 1979, my ID indicates 1980. So you must need to not have omitted that fact, right?
You cannot remember you testify. Hence we speak of corroboration.
Okay.
You must corroborate what you have written in your papers. But now what we saw this week, we saw I would say a joke, because someone has a document here. Yeah? It has been written and signed by him, but he says something way outside the same document that he has in his possession.
Ish, this guy though. Hi, we've seen things this past week.
And when you check the assessment of the probative value, the assessment can be done by considering the evidence in isolation, or more commonly by looking at it alongside with other evidence in the case. Hence, corroboration is important. Remember, we had other witnesses that came to the commission to testify.
Yes.
And we expected nothing but increment in terms of what other witnesses have already testified.
Of course.
You see. So, but what we saw, I mean, there was actually nothing that would assist the commission to take a decision.
True, especially because this person has now appeared to be unreliable.
Exactly.
Yo, I'm very curious though. We're going to come back to this. Do you think Mr. Matlala will see his day in the commission?
He will have to face his day in the commission, because you can agree with me, Luko, that he's been mentioned several times.
He's the famous name.
Yeah, he's actually the main person.
Exactly.
Mentioned by each and every witness that came to the commission so far. He is mentioned. So I think there should be an instance, Luko, where we'll have to see him having to go and testify. And now, since he's in custody, I wonder what he will have to say, what high-profile personalities he will have to implicate, because I don't think he would want to go down alone.
Of course. Of course. Speaking of that, I found Brown's testimony quite interesting. When was it? About 2 days ago or a day ago, when he said he doesn't believe former Minister Bekicele was being truthful in saying he doesn't know Cat Matlala, because he was in possession of a document that had Cat Matlala's face, where he was known as John Wick. And when he said that, I thought to myself, interesting argument. But what's more hurtful now is that we're beginning to even doubt what he's saying. Then again, he says that intelligence has got that document, for which I guess then the commission needs to go and find this document.
Yeah, you see, Luko, this now takes us back to something that I had a problem with even when I was still studying towards LLB.
Okay.
In terms of the separations of powers, how law is made. Now we check the relationship between politics and law.
Okay.
Politics create law.
Exactly.
Yeah, because political decisions and struggles lead to the creation and
the
amendment of the law. Then hence, it's very easy for the same political leaders to be able to become lawbreakers, because something that I have created, I can be able to break.
Of course, you can easily dismantle it.
I can easily dismantle it. So I had a problem with that, to say why law has to be made by people who did not even study law.
It's an interesting one, I guess, because it's in the interest. It's in the interest of the people, yes. And politics seem as though they are to govern that and manage that. But you're making a very valid point there.
Yeah, because now you check those three spheres: the legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the legislature creates and amends laws, and those are politics. Those are people in parliament. You see. And now the executive implements and enforces the laws. This typically includes the president and government ministers.
They
implement the laws. Then now look what now people who have studied law has to do. Those are the judicial branch. They must do what? They must interpret the law. They must make sure that they administer justice by applying that particular law to specific cases.
Eish.
You see.
Which they didn't necessarily craft, which can get tricky.
Which gets tricky. I mean, you are interpreting the law that you did not make.
Oh, I've never thought of it the way you're arguing it. That's a different angle, I must say.
Yeah, so it becomes something else, Luko, to say, I mean, someone else makes the law, and someone else
has to interpret
it. Must go to school and serve articles, go do pupillage, to just come and be an interpreter of the law.
Well, is that also not quite a risky one? Does it not then conflict with a lot of what it is that you guys believe then?
Yeah, I must believe, hence the power of separation of powers. Remember, it's
okay.
A fundamental principle of government.
Mm.
That divides state authority into three branches: the legislature,
okay,
the executive, and the judiciary.
Yeah.
You see, the aim here is to prevent concentration of power by assigning specific functions to each branch.
Mm.
That is the main aim. Hence, the legislature will make the law. The executive implements and enforces them, and the judiciary will interpret them.
All right.
So it's another key feature, yes, of constitutional democracy, and that protects against the abuse of power. You see, but now you see now the danger where now political leaders makes the law, and the same law they do not adhere thereto.
Mm. T for tricky, I must say.
It's a tricky one.
It's a very tricky one. So, let's go back to what we're discussing before we wrap up, Mr. SK.
Yes.
Now these SON affidavits are now out in the public. When I say out in the public, we now understand the contents of these affidavits as according to the commission. And he's now obviously contradicted it. The commission obviously may not necessarily lay criminal charges against him. Who can and when can they?
The commission, if they give a recommendation that charges should be laid, they can lay charges against him. Because you look into the key characteristics, Luko, as we're wrapping up, of an affidavit.
Okay.
One, it's a written statement. It's a formal document that is written out, unlike a verbal oath.
Mm-hmm.
The second characteristic of an affidavit is made under oath. The affiant must swear that the information is true, and this is often done in the presence of a person authorized to witness that oath, and that is a lawyer.
Of course.
Because a lawyer or a peace officer or a commissioner of oath.
Mm.
You see, then now we check the third characteristics, the legal weight. It is legally binding document, and lying in it can lead to criminal charges such as perjury.
Mm.
And this is what we saw this week. I mean, the chap agreed that I lied under oath, but yet he maintained that he's an agent.
Of the law.
Then now we check the fourth characteristic, that is evidence. It serves as evidence in legal proceedings, especially when an in-person testimony is not possible or convenient.
So if it carries that weight,
it carries weight. You see, if I don't want to go and testify in person,
yes,
I can simply write an affidavit. Which that affidavit speaks as if it's me speaking. Hence, Advocate Chaskalson said to Mukhosi that you are lying, blindly so, because he has an affidavit that he signed, Luko, that bears as evidence, that carries the legal weight, that is under oath, that is reduced to writing.
Sure,
but
this guy.
He totally contradicts such evidence as if he was not the author or he is not the
author. I was about to say as if he's never crossed paths with it.
Yeah, I mean, I must believe even his lawyer, when he was watching that on TV, he was embarrassed.
That's why I'm saying, Cabanga, you are my lawyer, and I'm sitting in a commission, and you prepared me. Okay, you know my testimony. All of a sudden, I say something totally different at the commission. They're like, how Gandhi? Hi, Bo. What did we talk about here?
Now, check the last one, Luko, here. The interesting one. An affidavit contains facts.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it outlines facts within the affiant's personal knowledge, which should be presented in a clear format. I didn't see anything clear in that affidavit. There was nothing clear there.
I wonder who did the affidavit with him. Now I'm worried. I'm more worried because I know I've done an affidavit, and I know that the commissioner or whoever, especially at the police station, they will then read it after you've written it. What did they understand from that?
Hence, Luko, you must make an affidavit in a plain language that you understand. That you understand. An affidavit does not need to specifically be in English. We've got official languages in the country that which one can make an affidavit, because sometimes, you see, one can say, no, man, I'm Tswana, and this affidavit was written in English, and I'm not so good or familiar with English, and so forth. So you can make an affidavit in your own Zulu, in your own Xhosa, in your own Sotho, in your own Pedi. There is nothing that forces you to make an affidavit in English.
Now you make an affidavit and you go act frustrated in front of the commission.
Yeah, you go and be frustrated in front of the commission. And say things that are not what you have written, and yet you acknowledge. I mean, you was asked several times, "Are you really the one that made this?" And he confirmed that indeed it's me that.
Yeah, interesting time, guys.
So interesting times that we're living in, Luko.
Yeah, let's ask you, unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we've got to sign out. That's about it from us.
Yeah, Luko, I think that is it in as far as the affidavit is concerned. And I just want to take this time to appreciate all the listeners of the Legal Jansi, Luko, the calls and the WhatsApps that I get, even when I'm not in studio, Luko. Really, they are so humbling. It shows that there's a great impact that this feature is doing to the citizens of the country, and to God be the glory. And from myself, the only lawyer of the radio, we're meeting again, same time, same place, next week, Thursday, on Radio Pulpit. God bless you.
God bless. That's Mr. Siyagamela, who is the only lawyer of the radio. He's the resident lawyer at Radio Pulpit. Here's a quick one.
And this is Luko. No, advocate, is it advocate? Or no, I'm interested. Yes, ngatungangbozela kuyo puto kuti. Ihamba njani indaba yokuthi umuntu ugwetyiwe olife, maybe two lives sentence, and then after a certain period kuthiwa u is it parole or utholi i dismissal? Yet lo muntu ugwetywe two lives and then aphinda buye azophila phakathi kwabantu. Inkosi, bye. Ibuhlungu into yemadlanga commission, because really umhotsi ulahla umkhondo. Behave as if he is not mentally okay, yet he is fully mentally okay. Siyabulela, bye.
Bulela thina mama, sizawuzama ukuyiaddressa next week le topic yakho. We'll make it a topic for next week. I will make sure that Mr. SK is aware, mama, and we'll come back and have this discussion next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Nicolene, I see you there, my lovey. Great that I could make the playlist a good one for you. Let's catch up next week again. God bless.
657 AM, Radio for Believers in Action.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.